Everyone, I'm sorry that we're delayed a little bit because of the davening. It's going to be like this for the next couple of weeks while they are shkia so late. This is a recap from last week, and before we go on, one of Be'ez Hashem still clarify and conclude some more halachis regarding Mechus Ramana before we move on to new territories. Last week we spoke about the rules of Mechus Ramana, about lack of faithfulness and keeping one's word when one committed to give or to sell or to buy or to hire from someone else something of theirs. Andy, you want to pass it back, please? What? There's no sheets. Last week. And we learned based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Tesem, which we learned in by last week. Machlag is Rav and Rabbi Yechanan about whether Dvarim Yesh Behem Mishum Mechus Ramana, whether a verbal commitment without any kind of act of a kinyan of more legally binding act that was not done. It was simply a statement that I'm going to sell this to you, or I'm going to buy this from you, or I'm going to hire you, or I'm going to give you a matana, things like that, or sell it at a certain price, and later on things changed, whether you have to carry through on that. Rav says you do not, and Rabbi Yochanan says that you do. And we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that Dvarim Yesh Behem Mishum Mechus Ramana, a person that does not keep his faith in the words that he says in his verbal commitments is considered to be lacking in his honesty, his integrity, and it's dealt with relatively severely. The Beis Yosef brings from Paiskim that say that you could call a person like that a Rasha. The Muk Yosef says, so the Dark Mode Ramad brings, that you could denounce on him that he is a Eino Osamaisi Yisrael, he's not acting like a Yid. And the early Chuvais, the Chuvas Maram Rotenberg, Chuvas Maram Mintz, say that you could make an announcement in public and embarrass him and say that this person is not acting properly, he's not an honest person, you can't rely on him, he's not acting the way a Yid acts like that, etc. We can't actually force the sale to go through, but we could hold him to say that this is a very improper behavior. The Gemara originally started out saying that it goes into the concept of Hein Shelchat Tzedek, a drasha from a pasuk in Chumash and Devarim and Kiseitse, which seems to be a din deraisa. And then the Gemara backed off and said, no, that's only going on Echa B'peh V'Echa B'Lev. If originally when it was said, it wasn't said sincerely, it wasn't said in good faith. When I said I'm going to do something, I never meant it from the beginning. That's when it's not a Hein Tzedek. But if I meant it fully and afterwards the situation changed, like it was Nishtana Hashar, the price has changed, then I wouldn't be committed necessarily, and that becomes the point of Machlokes Rav Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan. We learned as well that there's Machlokes Rishonim, whether even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we passing like whether you would still have to hold to it even when it's Nishtana Hashar, when there's a change. And most Pesukim paskin that you do, let's say the price has fluctuated, you should still keep with the original commitment that you made, unless it was something very unexpected. No sheets necessary. Something that was very unexpected, and then that was never on the radar screen, not contemplated at all, that would be a different kind of a situation. And we learned as well that the rule that we paskin, let's say by Matana Maruba, the Gemara says that according to Maskanas of Gemara, the commitment is only on something that's relatively minor, whether it's different of small variation of price or whether I'm going to give you an insignificant thing, not a very expensive thing. So then you're already counting on it, and if I let you down on that, then that's a hifticho b'kabe tocheles nichzeves. Rashi says a beautiful expression. If I got your hopes up on false premises and let you down and disappoint you for naught, that's a wrongdoing. That's a dishonesty. That's not the yashrus that Yisrael are known for. But if it would be a matanam ruba, it was something really, really big. So then seeing is believing. When it happens. Until it happens, it doesn't happen. And it's a hope, but it's not something you're counting on that you're all of a sudden disappointed on. I was never really so sure it was going to happen anyway. On a big thing like that, you know that you have to hold off. Even so, the Rambam's mashma, that's true only in Ikra Din, in Dini Mamanis, in which Paskins and Hilgas Mechach Memkar, and Hilgas Mechira, and Hilgas Deus in the Hanaga and the proper behavior of a Talmud Chacham. There the Rambam doesn't distinguish, and he says that you should stand behind your word because it's emes, regardless of price, regardless of change, because from your perspective, from your own midos yourself, you don't want to be a person that backs down to somebody that you say. That's a midos chasidus.
Could a person who's the potential beneficiary be meichel?
Yes, if he's meichel, b'leiv shalom, if he really means it. But if you pushing him and he has no choice, he's a barrel of force, I'll give in, but he really doesn't want to, and he goes home and he's so disappointed, he tells his wife, I'm birth my portable. So you have to know whether it's sincere.
But Klavi Shmaya, the Nechila from the potential recipient, would take care of it?
It'll take care of the avlo that you did to him. It doesn't make you to be an Ishemis. I'll tell you on a different level. There's a Gemara in Ksuva Zayin Zayin that talks about Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi was one of the very few people in the history of the world that was zeicha to die without dying. He was able to go into Gan Eden without ever having died. His body and soul went in there together, like Eliyahu HaNavi, like Chanoch, Inenu, Kilokoch, Elikim. The Gemara says a story over there right now, this is a tangent. The Gemara says over there a story that Rabbi Shimon Levi, first of all, he would chazor, kol Torah, kul, everything he learned every 30 days. Secondly, he was so unconcerned with his own self that people that were quarantined for diseases, for contagious diseases, he would go and take care of them and feed them and clean them and learn with them and sit with them, put his arms around them and say, when you're icing a Torah, that you don't have to worry about these things. So he was the only one that spent time with him, because his own issues do like that in World War I as well, quarantined people he would take care of. So the Gemara says there that they... when it came his time to go, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Malach Mavos was sent with special instructions that you have to go, but you have to do whatever this tzaddik Rabbi Shimon Levi tells you. So Rabbi Shimon Levi, when he saw the Malach Mavos, he said, I need 30 days, I have to chazer over again. Asher Misha Bala Kama Tamunu V'yado, I want to be fresh on my fingertips before I go upstairs. So Gaon says in the beginning of Megillas Esther, Bahara so yukar tferas gedula so malchu soy, Shmonim Asyayim, the beginning of Esther, when the Melech showed off his wealth and grandeur for 180 days, that's the Neshama going to Olam Haba. He's given 180 days. Everyone who gets to the Olam HaEmes is given 180 days. There's no sleeping, so it's day and night. 180 days is like a full year of our lives to be able to say over everything you learned. Now, how many people could go on for more than one day or 2 days? We've only gone said he had 3 days of Kasha just on Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin. But Gedolim used to prepare. Rabbi Shimon Levi wanted to be able to chazer over his learning for 30 days. So he goes, the Malach had to wait. Okay, I'll see you next month. So he came back the second time, and Rabbi Shimon Levi said, okay, but before I go, I want to know where I'm going. It's like, give me a sneak preview first. So the Malach said, okay, I'm have to do what you say. So he took him on his shoulders and gave him a ride up to Gan Eden, and he said, take a look. I said, I can't. There's a wall all around that I can't see over. I'm not a malach like you. So the malach said, fine, get on my shoulders and climb up and see it from on top. And he said, well, I'm too scared because that big sword you're carrying in your hands is frightening to me. So he gave him the sword. So Rabbi Shimon Levi was a very smart person. He gets on the shoulders. He has the sword of the malach above his hands. One leap, he's in over the other side of the wall into Gan Eden. And he makes a shua, I'm not coming out of here. So there's a big tumult in Olam Haba. This is a total tangent. A tumult in Olam Haba about whether they should make him be Matur Neder to take off that Shvu or not. And the decision from above was that we'll open his books and see. If he was ever Matur Neder during his lifetime, a Matur Neder Shvu that he didn't keep will be Matur Neder as well. They found out that no, he always kept anything that ever said. He was Mamash Ish Emes Lamitai. And therefore, the psak from Shemayim was that he's allowed to keep his shua and he doesn't have to leave. But even so, they told him, give the sword back to Malach Mavos, the world needs it. The world needs it, you hear that? the world needs it, so he gave it back, but he stayed there, body and soul together. How that works, take a look at Das Tunois of the Ramchal. Others from talk about how that works, body and soul go together. But anyway, why was it Zeicha to be an Olam Emes? Because he was an Ish Emes. A bird, Olam Emes, is an Olam of Emes. A person that compromises Emes is not exactly a box seat, front row kind of a Olam Emes position. He'll still maybe in the bleachers. But a person that's an Ish Emes, and that's what we're talking about, Midas Emes, then Bechila doesn't help on that. Bechila helps on, there's no Avla to the other person. Sheyes Yisrael Yasu Avla. But am I being an Ish Emes? Okay, you're Meichel me. My word is not a word. My Emes is not an Emes. It's compromised, okay, with a Heter, with Hatoros and Dharma, very, very nice. But Eilema Emes in front row, seating, you still won't necessarily get by that kind of a Hanhaga. Okay. That's just a quick synopsis from last week. The end of this year last week, someone over here, I forgot exactly whom, if you want to identify that, I'd appreciate, that's fine, asked a very good question, which I'd like to come back to revisit, because I think it's very enlightening. The Gemara has an expression, sometimes you beachcombing and you knock over a little rock or something, underneath there's a pearl. Sometimes a little question that you have in halacha, you find a treasure underneath of it. So, what we came out based on the Rambam yesterday, Rambam last week, is that beyond the halacha of Mechusar Mana, there is a Midas Chasidus, there is a Lefnim Meshur Zadin, that even, let's say, on a Matana Meruba, on a very significant commitment, which halachically you're not required to keep to, because the other person didn't really rely on that and considered to be a bird in hand already, but Midas Chasidus, you don't back off no matter what. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Hei, by the Talmud Chacha. So the question is, the sugya started off with a story of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was selling some merchandise. He took a partial payment for some of it, fine. But the rest of it, he wasn't paid yet. In the meantime, before the payment was made for the rest, the price shot up. So now he said, I want to sell it at today's price. I don't want to go through with the commitment to sell it at yesterday's price, which isn't anymore a fair market price. So went to Rav, and Rav told him, on the amount that you took payment for, that you have to deliver. On the rest, Rav holds, Dvarim Ein Behemesh Mechusar Amana. You're not obligated to keep it. The question is that Rav himself kept as a Midas Chasidus, the Minig of a Talmud Chacham, the way Rav passes it, that he would never back down. That's a Yerushalmi that the Rishonim bring, that the Perish Mishnayos of the Rambam at the end of Masechet Shviyos, the very last piece, and the Rav over there say, from the Yerushalmi, that Rav, whenever he would say to do something, he would never back off of it. And that was a Midas Chasidus, even though Rav didn't hold halachi like that. So somewhere over here, a member of the Shir, forgive me, I forget who, asked that Rav Kahana was also Talmud Chacham. Rav Kahana was one of them from the Gedalia Amoraim. And when Rav Kahana asked Rav a shayla, he just passed to him, it's mutter b'chayis because d'var b'enshem b'chosar amana. So he's telling him the letter of the law. That's good if you're doing, a guy in the street. But if you talk about a major Talmud Chacham, one of the Amoraim, one of Chazal, so you can tell him, but for Talmud Chacham, it's pasnished. For Talmud Chacham, there's a Midas Chasidus that I would expect of a person like you. Why did he not tell him that? That was the question that was raised. Excuse me a second. That was the question that was asked last week.
Just for merely asking the question, it shows that he's looking for that, or otherwise he would have asked.
Okay. But, there's a chinuch. If Rav Kahana's your Talmud, then you have to teach him something. The question's a good question. I think so. On the spot, I told the person that was asking the question last week that maybe there's a difference between a person that is more needy or not. Maybe, I don't know, Rav Kahana's situation. And when you talk about Midas Chasidus, that already is not set in stone. That's not an absolute. That depends on the situation. And if his situation was that he was needy on it, maybe there's an allowance for that. Let me take a look at it. Okay, so since then I had a week. I had to do something over a week. So there's a fascinating halacha that I first thought, oh, mamash, we're onto something big. And then I turned around and said, uh-oh, we're in trouble. So the fascinating halacha is like this. There's a din in Hilchos Ribbis in Shulchan Aruch Yerdei Yasim Kusamo Tes Sif Yud Gimel. It says a halacha like this. There's a little bit Hilchos Ribbis, Dick. We'll just bear with me for a moment, and then we'll get right into the groove of what we're talking about right now. It says in Hilchos Ribbis over there in Yerdei Kusamo Tes as follows. If a goy comes to a yid and says, I need to borrow money from your friend, the richer yid. So it doesn't relate to me directly. Go over here to your uncle, the Reich Yid. And here's a mashkan the goy gives to the first Yid to go give to the lender. And borrow me some money in my name on ribbis. I'm a goy. I could borrow on ribbis. And you'll just be the facilitator. If you want to get your cut, I'll give you something also fine. Brokerage fee. And he goes, and he gives it to his uncle, the Reich Yid. And he lends the money and collects the money, pulls it back. Everything's kosher v'yosher. Because ultimately it's a Yid lending to a goy, collecting with ribbis. Give the matzah back when you pay the Karen ribbis, no problem. Problem is, shamefacedly, the nephew comes to his uncle and says, dear uncle, sir, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's no goy. I sort of made that up, you know? And it's really me, and it's really my mashkin, and I borrowed it because I really needed that money. And see, I'm Jewish, and you're Jewish, right, uncle? Come from the same grandfather. Well, I can't pay you the ribbis, so I'm going to just pay you the principal, and please give me my mashkin back. This is a story that actually happened. It's a pasuk in Shulchan Aruch. So the uncle says, dear nephew, I don't believe you. You told me this is goy's, and I'm getting ribbis. When the goy comes, he'll get his mashkin back when he gives him ribbis. Otherwise, I'm keeping the mashkin, and I'll sell it, and I'll collect my ribbis from that. You made a hodos baal din. It wasn't your mashkin. You can't come now and say, it is your mashkin. So for the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is the Torah b'shem, the Shuvah Zerush, and it's the paskin on the Paro Shulchan Aruch. Then in that case, we paskin that the uncle, the lender, does not have to return the mashkin, and he could hold the by the first statement that was read that it's not it doesn't belong to this guy, and say why I believe that last time you were making up a story, I'll say now you're making up a story because you want to get out of the ribbis. When the guy comes, I'll give it back to him. Otherwise, I'll give you the mashkin. Okay, that's a psak. It's a hilchos ribbis discussion, and there's what to talk about in, over there. So Taz and Shach bring down Tshuvas of Marshal. Marshal's from the Gedolei HaPesukim before the Ramah, that is the era of the Gedolei Chachmei Ashkenaz. Marshal, and Simon Shai's Tshuvas Marshal. My version looks like this. Simon Salites. Old, scratchy kind of print. Simon Salites. The Marshal says, not so fast. Because, what did he do over here? He was a little bit desperate for some money, according to what he's telling us now. And he said, I couldn't find anyone to lend me money without ribbis. Ba'avoseinu harabim, as the Marshal expresses it, ba'avoseinu harabim, people only want to have a heteriska and to have ribbis, wherever they want to have, but it costs. And without heteriskas in those days, really before the Vada Barazas instituted heteriskas, I couldn't get anyone to lend me without ribbis, a gamach. So I was desperate for some money. He even describes that I could have been, if I had creditors that were going, they would put me away in debtor's prison. What they would do to a person that couldn't pay his debts. So I was desperate. So I made up a story. So I said a hodos baldin that was not mine. On a hodos baldin, you could make shat anivach. You could claim I wasn't serious. And with a good explanation, you could discount that original hodah. And there's no better explanation than this. This was the situation that he was in. I want to say, Eina Masa Mash Rasha, we can't believe that you wanted to pay ribbis because you were feigning, you were pretending that you were a goy, borrowing for a goy and paying ribbis. No, the Marshal says. He never intended to pay ribbis from the onset. He was always planning to come back at that and say, I'm sorry, but it's really me, and I can't pay you ribbis. He never intended to pay ribbis, so he's not a Rasha for borrowing with ribbis. You want to say, though, it's a harama. It's a whole setup, and like that's not very truthful, and that's like Sherry Sassoli, also Avlo, Yadav Rechazov, you know, that's Nishkin Giddush Aveg. You can call a person in Russia for that, and therefore, Eidem as a Russia, maybe I shouldn't believe on that. The Ains as Sherry Sassoli, Yasu Avlo, Ela B'ish Amud. That's by a person that's self sufficient and getting along, and he's just trying to take advantage of someone else. That's treachery. That's crooked. Or even if I'm not wealthy, I'm poor, and I'm not doing it because of a tremendous driving need, but I just want to be able to make a profit and take advantage of you on that. That's also a crooked thing to do. but it's, well, I'm not trying to make profits over here. And I'm otherwise don't have any other alternatives. But I was saying to Rabbi Kenan, in Adam, Shemavalo Beloy Rivis. Shemloha Yalova Hamos Hoyachas Shon Nidvis Bene Goyim, or Hezekacher. And therefore, Hoyanech was Bedaber, he was right now, he was under pressure, he was desperate, he had to do it right away, or otherwise he's going to be, who knows what, in trouble. Ein Zeb Bechal Sheres Yisrael Yasu Avla. That's nothing dishonest about that. That's, he had no choice in these kind of circumstances. He wasn't stealing. And yes, he had to make a harama. That's acceptable under those circumstances. So here, the marshal, brought down by the Shachan Taz on the Daf of Shulchan Aruch, qualifies the whole concept of Sheres Yisrael Yasu Avla that we're talking about in the Sugya to say that it's in smooth, still seas, but a stormy seas. When in desperate situations, when things are rough and tough, and you have no other choice, Sheres Yisrael all of a sudden is understandable under these circumstances, and there's a leeway given, that opens up wide open. Well, I don't know how wide it keeps on going on that. The Mishpat Shalom, that's the Marsham, the Brajana Rav, or Shiva Zatzal, Rav Huma Zatzal, whose yahrzeit is the Shabbos, went bananas, if I could use that kind of term, about the Marsham, his hekif, his yediya, his command of Kol Torah Kula. When the Rishiva was a person that was called Torah Kula, and when he talked about the Marsham, there's very few people he spoke about like that. So the Marsham, over here on this halacha that we're learning right now about Mechusar Mana, which is in a Siman Reish Dalet in the Chayesh Mishpat, he says, V'yesh la'ayin im davar zeh shayat gamba ani. This whole din about Sheir Zesoli Azu Avla and Ein Ruchal Nechemenu, does it apply by a poor person that's in a dire need? Ayin taz yoredeya, kosamo tes yotes, b'shem marashal. The ayin zeh b'klal sheir zeh zeh yasi avlo, kevin zeh zeh l'dover. V'achadami yesh layim bar, yesh layim b'zeh. But Tzorachian, he leaves this as a question mark about how far to go with this. Tzorachian, how, I guess have to ask a shayla by a paisik, Adam Gadol, before he takes such an allowance.
But isn't this but, worse than
That's right. Which is also that's even more Hengel Tzedek. A very good point. And Ava Pikain, he's saying that in a certain way, he doesn't say this, Marshal, but I would just add to him what he's saying and say that what I'm doing over here has been kefal mitzvahs. The uncle really has a mitzvah to lend money without ribbis. That's the mitzvah gemilas chasadim. He doesn't want to do a bavin and say to Rabin, but really it's the right thing to lend money without ribbis. Right? I know that he likes making profit, everyone likes making profit, but really when someone is needy and that loan's going to really save him and he comes to you and says, you have the money, you're able to lend it to me, and assuming that I'm a reliable person, that I have a way to pay it back and I'm trustworthy that I'm going to pay it back, Chavetz Chaim and Avos Chesed talks about that you're not mechuyav to lend to someone that's not trustworthy. But if I am, and Baruch Hashem, if I get out of this problem, I'll be able to go back to work, and within a reasonable amount of time, I'll be able to pay you back. You're really mechuyav neraisa mitzvah hava to lend me money. You don't want to do it. So this whole trick, this whole scam, it's a way to be able to compel you to do the mitzvah that you're writing what you're supposed to do. So it's not so good for luck anyway. I was exactly with the mitzvah. Thank you.
But Abed's din is also to treat an ani and an asher differently.
Correct.
Doesn't that come into this?
Yes. A Beis Din is talking about when we have to judge a case. Yeah. There's no favoritism over here, right? This over here is a question about what is proper conduct. There's what proper conduct over here, especially when we're going to talk about something that's from the Mishra Zedin, that's more than what straight letter of the law demands, then circumstances can be taken into account. Now, what I wanted to say, before I started looking more carefully is, hey, I have over here good, solid, grounds over here in Paiskim to say that not all cases are judged equally, and situations of greater need are more leniencies. And therefore, over here, if it's true that Rukana, this is conjecture, was in a needy situation, maybe for himself, his family, for his tzedakah cases, for his yeshiva, who knows what the story was, I don't know. So if there was a greater enough need, maybe Rav held, then I'll just hold him to the straight lacha. I won't have to take him into the Midas Chasidus realm, maybe that he's not required to do under those circumstances. That's where I really wanted to go. But when I read the Chuvah Samar Shal, which sometimes brings it down just like that. He's not coming to disqualify the Midas Hasidus of Rav in the Yerushalmi, which goes beyond. He's talking about when the Sheris and Stroll Yasu Avla, the whole halacha itself applies. And if you're going to give an exception over here to say that Rav Kana has some dispensation because of his circumstances, that he's not obligated right now with the rules of Sheris and Stroll Yasu Avla, then the whole sugya doesn't start. The Gemara starts out asking, I is not Mechos Ramana, it's Mechos Ramana. Gets involved with Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yechudon, which ends up being because of Sheris Yisrael Yasu Avla. Good, let's say Rav Kana was a Nidchak L'Shah, and he was a Ani, and L'Bitok Deichkai, and therefore he has a dispensation. We don't say that. Gemara certainly holds Rav Kana to the rules of Sheris Yisrael. I wanted to say, okay, but maybe the Midas Chasidas he's not held to. But he's taking out from under us that even the whole Din of Sheris Yisrael doesn't apply. And if you go that far, then it doesn't fit in the whole sugya. So then, I guess Rav Kana wasn't in that category. So then, could I say, well, he was halfway there, and therefore not for Midas Chasidus, but not for the Ikra Din? I'm getting already into thinner ice at this point.
I understand that. How does the Marshal know that the guy's telling the truth?
If circumstances support it, that we understand that he's, you know, there are collection agencies and there are the foreclosure process already, and then they're coming to take away his refrigerator yesterday and his other things tomorrow. And he went under their circumstances and said, borrow the money. So say, yeah, we can understand what he did. Right? I guess, you know, Ein L'Dayamash, Ein L'Rose, that you have to make an assessment. But he, in this case, said that it was credible. That we'll have to make. If indeed I was just trying to rip you off and go gamble with it, then of course, then that would be a terrible avla. You have to know deal with circumstances. But the principle, the concept that he's saying, that if it's true that you're doing it for valid need, then you don't say over here, Sheris Yisrael Yasu Avla is a terrible thing to do. It's not so terrible a thing to do when a person is in that kind of circumstance. So again, the Marsham, Mishrei Shalom, is saying, Tzarki and how far to go with that, but it doesn't seem to over here to work directly for our sugya over here with Rukana. So I'm back to the question that was presented. So I want to.
But you also know from Matanam Ruba and Matanam Maetis.
Right.
That circumstances are different.
Well, there we have a clear definition. Exactly how much is Matanam Maetis or Matanam Ruba will vary by the person. But on that which is a relatively minor thing where people are Seimich Das, and you rely on it, you count on it, and you figure that, so I already have an assurance. So there, that's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Rabbi Yochanan says, and we pass like him, that's Machlokes Ramana. What clearly would be a huge, unbelievable kind of commitment, seeing is believing, when that happens, then we'll talk about it then. In the meantime, you know, it's a pie in the sky.
It seems to me that there's a stereo between the things that you said. When you talk about Matana Maruba, you said that a person doesn't rely on Matana Maruba. He doesn't really believe it. But on the other hand, if he's doesn't it depend on whom he's dealing with? Because if it had been Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who had promised him Matana Maruba, then since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi always carries out his commitments, then in that case, he would believe them, right?
If you know that he's a Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, Nick, right? My policy is I'll never back off anything I ever say in my whole life. And now you come with me. Now you know my word is gold. You could go to the bank with it. You might be right. But Rabbi Yeshua Malevi kept his practices to himself. Who knows if he publicized it like the Gemara did after his death? No, you're right. Usually you don't wear a badge and everyone identify you like that in advance.
Why can't it be that the Mishra's Adin is on Rav Kahana but not on Rav? So when Rav is answering the Shaila, he's being asked the Shaila Halacha. So he has to answer the Halacha. He can't answer the Mishra's Adin. He has to answer the Halacha, and the Halacha is the way it is.
Okay. Okay. No one has to go on with tea here.
Maybe like a bigger Gemara?
Okay. It'll work for it. I just want to read a couple of lines. Thank you. Once upon a time, long time ago, a faraway place, above the Sea of Hegimol and Aleph. Let me tell you a story. Rabbi Hanan who was a relatively wealthy person. He had a bunch of porters carrying his barrels of wine from one place to another place to market, whatever it was. Tavru lehanu shekuloi chavisa dechamra. One of the porters tripped and dropped his barrel, and it went spilling down the road, and the whole neighborhood smelled delicious that night. Shok leglimei. Leglimaihu is mashi. He kept the whole group of them responsible. So he took their coats. They left their coats maybe in his office. And he says, I'm keeping them as a machkin for the payment until you pay me up for that damage. You're not getting it back. So the porters went to Rav. Here's Rav again. Amar lehu, amar leh, hava legli mayhu. So Rav told Rav Ruchana, give the workers back their coats. Amar leh, dino hachi, is that the din? They damaged. A uman is like a shemer sachar, and he was poshe over here. He was makalkal, he was mazik. So he should have to pay me. I want to get my payment. Dino hachi, is that the din that you're going to compel me now to let them go? Amar leh in. Rav says yes. Why? Because the puzzle says a mishle leman telech b'derech taivim. You should go in a proper good way if nimer shows it. All right. Rav Ruchana says whatever Rav says. Oh, that's what I'll do. Yov leh glumayu give back their coats. Amar leh. So then the porter says, aniye anan. We're poor people. We work day by day to put bread on our table, literally. We come home today without our day's pay. Our kids don't eat supper. Right, ani anan, v'tarchinan kuli yoma, and we've been working, sweating all day long. V'kafinan, and we're hungry, and our dependents. V'leslan midi, we have nothing. We're going to go home empty-handed tonight if we don't get paid for our day's work. So it's one thing we're not going to pay for the damage, but still he's withholding salary because give you wages for doing damage or work. You didn't do any work good for me, so I'm not giving it to you. Amrlei, so Rav told Rav Ruchana, Zil hav agrayu. Go pay them their salaries too. Amar leh. So Rabbi Ruchana said, Dina hachi. Is that the din? Amar leh. So Rav says, in. V'orachais tzadikim tishbor. You should go in the ways of the righteous and be a tzadik. Go live to Mishozadin. Adkan, that's the end of the seventh parak, sixth parak of Bava Metzia. So what I'm trying to say over here is, to respond to Mel's question, I think, that Rav was in the habit of teaching proper behavior that goes Lefnim Rishon Din and teach his Talmidim Rabbi Bruchana, you know, not maybe me or you, but someone that's only nearby, he told him, you have to be a tzaddik. So Rav Kana was also a grace tzaddik. So why do you say, you got to be a tzaddik? That's, I think, the basis of this kasha.
Why were there two different psukim that he quoted as one?
It's the same puzzle, actually. It's the beginning and the same puzzle. Take a look over there. Raji says, Sefer Dehakra. So, later maybe we'll talk about that when we talk about Pilim. It's a fascinating Gemara to talk about. I took it out of context right now, but it serves our purpose for today. So, our question still is, why didn't Rav told Rav Kana, I would never do that, or I don't really think you should do it, or Lefim Rishon Din, or Vasisa Tova Yashar, or whatever you want to say, why didn't he say anything about the proper Hanhaga? So, therefore, I want to now suggest, in order to conclude this topic, to say that Lefnim Rishos Din over here that we're talking about, the Midas Chasidus, the Hanhag of the Talmud Chacham, as the Rambam described it, is based on keeping my word. It's not based on not disappointing the other person. We already said the other person doesn't necessarily have a disappointment by Matan of Rubel, according to Rabbi Yechadon. And Rav says the other person should never really count on that and what I'm saying. And when it comes to pass, it comes to pass. Until then, the game's not over until it's over. That's business. But Rav's saying there's a midas chasidos as the midas emes of the Rambam, of the midas emes of the person himself, as we learned last week in the words of the Rambam. Can I borrow your seat sheet for a second, please? Thank you. That a maso matam and tamo chacham should be beemes v'muna on his hain, his love is love, is b'chay himself, even if something is not chayav. Kidei shiyamo b'dibura v'lo yishanei. He doesn't change. He says something, he keeps it. That's the midas emes of a tamo chacham. That's the midah of the tamo chacham himself, he says the emes. Now that midah, I want to suggest, is applied specifically when things are the same as they were beforehand. And I said, I'm going to give you a matana and say, I changed my mind. That's not emes. But when I didn't change my mind, but the world changed. It's Nishtana Hashar. It fluctuated. And yesterday this was going for $2 a container. Now it's going for $3 a container. It's a 50% difference in price. So on that situation, I never gave my word. So it's not that I'm taking back word. I'm still willing to sell it to you at the going proper rate of the day. So when it's Nishtana Hashar, is the Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yechonon whether the din applies. Rabbi Yechonon says that, the Gemara first understood because it's a gzeiros hakasav and it has no leeway. The Gemara backs off and says, no, the pasuk is going for the case of echav pev echav leib when it was not sincere, was in bad faith from the beginning. Rather, what's it based on when the other guy's relying upon you to keep it? So Rabbi Yechonon says, even though there's a slight change, Rashi Tosfos says on top Tosfos, that's like a matana muetis. So the other guy has the right to rely on you, and Rav holds not like that. That's a question about the reliance. But as far as the midas ha-emes, then that's not what I said. That's not what I ever committed to. I never committed to sell to you at below going rates.
Doesn't the Gemara use the Hain Shekot Tzedek?
Yes, the Gemara originally thought it was Xeris because of a Hain Shekot Tzedek. And then the Gemara would say that we learned last week from the Rush and the Riff, then that would be without any kind of qualifications, whether it's Matan Ruba, whether it's Matan Muetas, whether it's a Shtar Ashtar, whether it's another Shtar, bang, you have to do it no matter what. The Gemara says, no, that really is not what the Pasuk is going for, Maya says. It's going for Echo Pev, Echo Belev, who is not sincere.
The Gemara's not, I thought that the question was.
Yes.
Yes.
If it's a Xer, it's a Kazim, it's a Xer, it's a Kazim.
Isn't that one of the differences?
But once we back off of that, once we don't have the Xer, it's a Kazim, we're coming from our own Svara, then we could say a mana could be defined as staying behind what you said in the context of what you said.
No, I understand. Then you have the same question back and forth.
Again, if it's a gzeiros hakasav, there's no leeway. It's a gzeiros hakasav. If it's not, then we could use our svar. Rashi says this. Rashi, if anyone still has the Gemara, but otherwise it's one Rashi, I'll read it off after. When the Gemara first wants to say it's from the pasuk, the Gemara says, no, that pasuk is going for something else. And of Echav Peh Bechalev, Rashi says, B'shashu Omer Hadibur, at the time that you said something, lo yeh b'day to l'shanos, then it's wrong to have in mind to do other. Avol im nishtana sharli achas man. But if things fluctuate and change the circumstance, and it's chosen because of the feet of the Shidi Ashar, ain't kan chasar amana. Then when there's a reason, a legitimate, reasonable reason why you're backing out, that's not chasar amana. Rashi's mashma clearly, that if you would be backing out without any kind of Shin Yashar, just, I changed my mind, I want to do something else, that would talk and be wrong, even according to Rav, because it must be a Midas Chasidus. But that's only Dafka in a case that it's no good reason to back out. But when there's a good reason to back out, you can't have any complaints. I never committed to sell it to you at a discount below the going market price. So I want to suggest that the Bidas Chasidus of the Rambam is to keep your word in the circumstances that it was said. But when there's a change of circumstance, then there's no taina even as Bidas Chasidus, and then it's much of the Chalchila. In the Shaka Tari of the Gemara, I think that will fit, and from Rashi, I think it's Meduyuk like that. There's a lot more to talk about, and that's my problem. I don't know whether we should continue. I wanted to talk about the Din of Prius Balchov, which Rashi says in Ksuvis, is because of Hein Shechot Tzedek, Rabim, Matan Ani. I'll just end up with one halacha. Tshuvas HaRosh, which the Gilyoni HaShas Rav Yosef Engel brings it over here above Metzia Mem Tes, brings down from the Tshuvas HaRosh, Klal Kuf Bei Sif Yud. That says an interesting thing. He says that Matan Mu'etes is an extension of Hilchos Mekach HaMemkar. This Din of Mechusar Mana is even when you haven't made a final formal, legal, halachic, binding ma'aseh kinyan, and you haven't even given kesef, which is not really binding, but still a misha para for it, but you at least, I've said, I'm going to give this to you, or I'm going to hire you, or I'm going to sell it to you, or I'm going to buy it from you. So that what you do with maso matam, which otherwise can be binding at a certain point. But if you deal with something that there are no kinyanim for, like a darvish lo baliyayla, something that's next year's produce, or if it's a darvish embo mamish, like just an action, rather than a tangible item. For instance, I'll come to your bar mitzvah, your son's bar mitzvah, right? If I do come or if I don't come, is not a ownable, actionable property. You can't own me, and you can't own your, you know, that my coming. It's darish eimel mamish. I can make a shua that I will, but it's not subject to kinyanim. So the Tshuva Rosh says something that's only a matter of a dibur. That's not. It's not a matter of always having to do what I say because of hilchos nedarim and shvuos. It's an extension of hilchos kinyanim. It's a commitment to another person only in something that's committable in terms of chayshe mishpat, in terms of ownership, in terms of doing business. But once it's out of the realm of doing business, I'm going to learn with you. It's an exciting thing. We're going to learn sugya together. But that's not something you could make a kinyan on that kind of a action. On that, there's no dinam mechosar amana. Learning might be a nail of our mitzvah. That'd be a different story. But the Rosh says this is specifically regard to the things that are subject to kinyan. If you make a kinyan, if you make it like a statement you're going to, then you have to scan it because of dinam mechosar amana. Feather Shem next. Tekiyas kaf is lach ashua. Tekiyas kaf is chomer like a shua, and then you would have to do it, or else you have to be matur neder. And if it's done al das someone else, you can't be matur neder. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to continue next week. We're going to not do Mechaz Ramana. We're going on to new grazing areas to find out some more concepts of the lives. Ruvain.